Wow, good morning, everyone. Good morning, good to see you this morning. I think every now and again we sing songs in the church that if you've been maybe a Christian or you've been in this church for 15, 20 years, you probably appreciate even more. And this morning, some of those songs were songs that we've been singing for quite some time. And I think, yeah, there's a sense of just connection with those songs, which is a bit different. And so, this morning was an opportunity for that. And some of you, I'm sure, would have felt that or experienced that as you were worshipping this morning. It's good to have you this morning. It's good to have you come and listen to God's Word to worship together. That's all we do simply on a Sunday morning. We worship God together. We read God's Word together. We listen to God's Word together. I don't claim to be an expert in anything other than just loving God and wanting to share His Word with you. And hopefully it encourages you, hopefully it helps you in some way, and it deepens your faith in a God who, as we sang this morning, is a way maker. He's a way maker. And I think when I think about so many stories in the Bible, I see so many stories in the Bible where God's just continually making a way, continually making a way. And it's almost like humanity always came to a place where they were at the end of themselves. Yeah, they were at the end of themselves. They didn't know quite what to do. They felt a little bit desperate. They felt a sense of, what is humanly possible in this situation. And again, God makes a way. And God makes a way, And then Jesus came. And Jesus came and declares Himself the what? Way, truth, and the life. And here he comes and he declares Himself as the way, the truth, and the life. And He's able to continue to make this way for us beyond, the Bible says, what we ask or think. And that's quite an incredible truth that we hold on to as Christians, that He continues to do that today for His people. And God is for us, the Bible says. God is for us, and therefore who can be against us, the Bible declares. And that's a truth that we hold on to, that if God is for us, who can then become against us? And we hold on to that. We hold on to that, believing in a God who is not just likes to be for us, but is for us. And therefore, who can be against us? I look around the room this morning and there are so many different faces, different people, different backgrounds, different circumstances. And if I asked every single person something of their own story and experience this week, I'd get, whatever it is, 150, 200 different stories. Because I don't know where you're at. I don't know what your experience is this week. We want to make Christianity real. We want to make our faith real. We don't want it to become religious and something that we just do on a Sunday. At the end of the day, I don't know. I can't pretend to know where every single person is and what their story is and what their experience has been this week. To give you an example, this week I've heard two different types of stories, at least two, and close to either side of the spectrum. One that was such a celebration. A person wanted to share with me something that was a celebration for them, and which is beautiful, isn't it? We love those moments. We love those moments where someone can celebrate something really, really good. And another story I heard where it was one of almost devastation. How do I get my head around that? But you think about this, and we're talking about these are Christians, same God, different stories, same God but different stories. But isn't that life? Do we claim to be immune to things that are challenging? Do we say, because we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, there's no more challenges in life? You got celebration, you got almost devastation, but the same God. And so I don't know everyone's stories, but what I do know is this, what I'm absolutely convinced of is this, that He is the same God in both those circumstances. And He is calling us in those moments, in those minutes, in those hours, in those days, He is calling us to hold on to Him. He is calling us to hold on to Him and trust Him. And this, my friends, is a place of surrender. This, my friends, is a place of surrender. Because we're trusting in and believing in a God who's way bigger than our circumstances, that sees the end from the beginning and is truly a way maker. And so our God is, this is the God that we serve. And I want to share with you more this morning about this place, minute by minute, hour by hour, day by day, this place of surrender. Because God is calling us, every single one of us, not as an option, not as a something that we have a choice in, though we have a choice. If we want to follow Him, then our choice is always a place of surrender. And it may not be an easy place, listen carefully, it may not be an easy place to surrender, but it is a good place. It is a good place. And it is the right place. So let's pray. Let's ask God's mercy on us this morning as we open up God's word and share. I want to share with you some thoughts on this. And may the Lord grant His mercy upon us that we may receive it with open hearts, with humble hearts. If we come this morning with pride in our hearts, if we come this morning thinking that we don't need God, or we know more than God, or even maybe we come this morning thinking we know enough, then perhaps we don't come ready to learn and receive from the Lord. And so let's pray this morning that the Lord opens our hearts to receive the one word or the one sentence or the one thing that we need to hear this morning. If we dare to believe our God is good and that He's in the midst of us this morning. Our Lord, our Father, You are a good God. You are the God that is always in the midst of us. You are the God who goes before us. You are the God who makes a way. And testimony after testimony in Your word, You declare Your goodness in showing that You can make a way in times that seems to be almost impossible. And so, Father, we pray this morning that in Your goodness and Your kindness and Your mercy that You open up our hearts to receive the types of things or the things that we need to hear that will allow us and strengthen us to continue to hold on to You, to trust You, to believe in You, and to surrender to You. Father, we grant this time to You. We thank You for the worship, and we thank You for Your word now. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. This morning, you may not actually, as I'm looking through some of my notes here, you may not open your Bibles, or you may, depends how quick you are. But I will share with you some verses that I'd like you to reflect on and think about with me this morning. For a long time, or for some time now, I've been wanting to really push a point. The point is this, that out of the goodness of God's mercy, we find ourselves as Christians in a place of surrender. And some of you would have got that. Some of you would have grasped that, understood that, living it, doing it, because you understand that there is no better place to be or important place to be or necessary place to be, that when we have experienced the mercy of God, then to know that there is no other place to be than a place of surrender. And as you've been thinking and listening about this idea of how good God's mercy is, because we once were in a place of judgments and, if you like, damnation, God has brought us out to be in a place of life and salvation. And that, my friends, is not a small place to be. That is not a simple place to be. That is life-changing. And some might be sitting here this morning thinking, what's the big deal of God's mercy? What's the big deal of God's salvation? Surely God is good to everybody. Surely it doesn't require some decision to follow Him, some commitment to follow Him. Well, that, my friend, is the very reason why God saves. Because you, amongst all peoples in this world, have said and decided that you've needed Him, and you are prepared to declare your need before Him. Yes, God is good to everybody. The Bible says that. He makes His sun to shine on the good and the bad, the rain to fall, on the just and the unjust. But to make a decision for Him, and to understand that without this mercy of God in your own life, that you are lost, and that's a different thing. The Bible says to us in Lamentations in the Old Testament that through the Lord's mercies we are not consumed. So there is a consumption, if you like. There is something that gets consumed. There is something that gets destroyed. Through the Lord's mercy, we are not consumed. Because His compassions fail not. And so what the author is saying here, that because God is so merciful and because God is so compassionate, we find this life for those who choose to believe. The author goes on to say that they are new every morning. So great is His faithfulness. And because they are new every morning. So this morning, there is an opportunity for us to give our own, all of our heart to Him. Because this morning, we still are here, not consumed. Because great is His mercy and great is His compassion. So what do you do with this morning? Well, I tell you, there's only one thing to do. If this morning you sit here among us and you're listening to this message this morning and you find yourself in a place that is not where God wants you to be and God needs you to be, then this message is for you. You're in a place where you have not been consumed. You have not been destroyed. And so you should, in the depths of your heart, say, great is His faithfulness. And the only place and the only thing that is required of you this morning is to give your whole heart to Him, your whole life to Him. Because great is His faithfulness. He has not consumed you. He has not destroyed you. He's kept you for this day and this moment that you may give your heart to Him and your life to Him. And you will declare with me, great is His faithfulness, that He would be so willing to bring you into a place today that you would find yourself able to give everything you can to Him. How great is God's mercy? Remember last week I shared with you Romans chapter 12 verse 1, and when the apostle said to those in Rome, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, because of God's mercy, was our reasonable service, our good service, our true worship to God. This was our response to the mercies of God. And some of you would have heard that last week and thought, yes, that's right. God has been absolutely merciful to me. God has been incredibly merciful to me. And there is no other place that I want to be than to show Him true worship. Living sacrifice. Absolute surrender to a God who's been so good and so merciful to me. And this comes out again and again in the Scriptures. It reveals itself again and again in the Bible where God is revealing Himself to people. God is being good to people and people are responding as a part of their true worship back to Him. When a young boy called Samuel, before he became a wonderful, wonderful prophet of God, and when he was there as a young boy and God speaking to his life and saying, Samuel, Samuel, even after a few times not realizing it was God, when he realized, he said, Lord, speak. Because your servant's listening. He came to a place in his life where he realized if God is being so good to me that He's actually speaking to me, He's actually wanting to make Himself known to me, that He's revealing Himself to me. If God has been so good to me, then the only place I can be is a place that says, Lord, speak. Go on and tell me. What do you want me to do? Because I'm listening, because I'm your servant. How good's God? How good is that response to God's mercy? And then Mary, a little young girl who's been told that you're going to carry in your womb the Messiah. How do you explain that to a young girl? And yet she's able to, in her youthfulness, in her young understanding, in her youthful faith, is able to say, behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word. God, you've been so good. I don't understand it, but you've been so merciful that I would be part of this big plan that you have for the world. Then God, I don't run from this. I say, behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word. There's a place of surrender. I think that's good. I think it's good that we remember this morning why it's so important to be in a place of surrender. I think that's really, really important. That we understand that it is a place that comes from God's mercy. You may recall I said to you last week that rescue changes how we live. When you've been saved, you really can't live the same way, can you? When you've been rescued for something, if you've been rescued from something, you can't live the same way. It's almost unheard of for someone to be rescued from something that they were destined to die in, and then for their lives to be the same. And that's important. So I want us to understand that this morning. I want us to have some understanding, a little bit of an understanding of what this is. And I want to share with you what it's not. What is it not? But for us to understand that, I think we need to grasp a little bit about God's goodness towards us and what it means to be in a place of surrender. Because sometimes we misunderstand it. We think things about mercy. We think things about surrender as Christians, and we don't quite understand what it is, because, and we make it something else. And that's not healthy either. That's not good for us. You know, once upon a time, I used to think to myself, surrender was living my life in a place where, no bad thoughts ever came into my mind. And I struggled with it. I thought, oh, if I'm surrendering to you, God, why do I even think these things? And I hurt myself not understanding what surrender was. Does that make sense? Until I realized, oh my goodness, I live in this body of humanness and thoughts are always going to come into my head. But what do I do with them? I surrender them, don't I? And I'm sure if you're anything like me, you'd be embarrassed and ashamed to tell people what thoughts popped into your head. Wouldn't you? Or am I the only one in the room? But what do you do with them? You take them and you surrender them. Because they're not my thoughts. They have no place dwelling in me. So they're surrendered. When I was younger in the faith, I used to also think, for example, that praying by the minute made me more holy. You know, if I prayed a certain time of the day and got up really early and prayed a certain amount of times and for certain lengths of times, that was surrender. But these are genuine things. These are things that people have to work through. And even though I'm sharing them with you this morning, some of you will still wrestle with them, and some of you will still need to work through them. Because even though you're hearing me say them, they'll still become challenges for you. Because surrender isn't a combination of these things. It's far deeper than that. Where minute by minute, hour by hour, you come in a place where you're absolutely trusting and holding on to God in the light of all the challenges and temptations around you. You are where God needs you to be. And there's so much I want to share with you about this, because it's our lives. It's who we are. It's not something that is optional on the shelf we grab from the day we feel like surrendering. It becomes who we are. And so I can share with you 30 odd something years of it. But how do I do that in a couple of sermons? So it's really important for us to understand something of what the Bible is referring to when we talk about from a place of mercy we are surrendering. But a really good place to start is this. If I can just go back one moment, one step, and a really good place, and I hope some of you will get this, a really good place to start is this. Who in their right mind would not want to surrender to Christ? Who in their right mind would not want to surrender to the Christ? And soon we're going to hear about that, because we're going to hear the Easter story soon. And we're going to hear something of the greatest love God has ever shown this world. The greatest love that brought about salvation. The greatest love that you'll ever find. And in all the seeking of love in this world, the greatest love you will ever experience and find in this earth is not from another human, though human love is great, is from the Christ himself, who the Father gave for us to suffer and die to pay for the penalty of my sin and your sin, that we may be saved. This, my friends, is the greatest love. And who in their right mind would not want to know something of the greatest love that God ever showed this world? Who in their right mind would not want to know something of the love that the Bible calls covers the multitude of sins? Those who come to Christ knowing that they have sinned in ways that are embarrassing to tell people, experience his mercy and love at a far deeper level than anyone else can. If you come to me this morning and say, you don't want to know what I've done, I'm saying, yeah, I probably don't want to know what you've done, but I know God does. And if you tell him, you will experience his mercy and love to such an extent that you will know his love in a greater way than everyone else in this church. Because the Bible says love covers the multitude of sins. Isn't it interesting then we become Christians and all of a sudden we like to pick out people's sins? Isn't that funny? It's weird, isn't it? God covers the multitude of our sins and then we go looking and digging for people's sins. Who in their right mind would not want to know the mercy and the tender love of God who covers the multitude of sins? I think that when we come to know this love, we understand a God who is faithful and just, who forgives our sins and cleanses us from all unrighteousness. That's what 1 John tells us. Who in their right mind would not want to know that? In fact, I think when we get to that place, we become like the Apostle Peter who said to Jesus, where am I going to go? If I don't stay with you, where am I going to go? You have the words to eternal life. Who would not want that? The words to eternal life. A love that covers the multitude of sins. A God who's faithful and just to forgive me. And then who has the words of eternal life. Where else are you going to find this? And then the relationships get so intimate with the Father and the Son, then we then begin to experience something quite unique, something the Apostle John experienced, is that he leans his head on the chest of Jesus. And though we don't experience that physically, there is something that happens in the Christian life that we understand the intimacy that John had with Jesus, who felt him, touched him, experienced him, knew him in such a beautiful way. Who in their right mind does not want to know this? But it comes at a cost, and that's the place of surrender. Because these things aren't just things that magically happen. We're not entitled to these things. They come because we are in a place of surrender. And we come to be able to then lean on the chest of Jesus because in our suffering and in our pain, we're trusting him. And in doing that, we're leaning on his chest. Does that make sense? So what is it not? What is it not? I'll just share with you a couple of thoughts and we'll continue next time. So if we want to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, and this morning there are people in the room that want to trust him and surrender to him, then I want to share with you a little bit about what it's not so that we have a clearer understanding of what it means to follow the Lord Jesus Christ and be in a place of surrender. And I hope that this helps you. I hope that you can take something away this morning, because you're saying in your own hearts, I've experienced God's mercy. I want to surrender. I want to live daily for Him. I don't want a misunderstanding of it. I don't want to spend my life doing something that's not surrender. And so I hope this helps. I hope this helps. And then you can encourage each other in the Word and the things that the Lord says. All right, let's look at the first one. The Bible says this, listen to this, in 2 Timothy chapter 3. Listening? 2 Timothy chapter 3. You don't need to turn to it. The Bible says this, having a form, this is Timothy talking and wanting to encourage us in something. He says, having a form of godliness, he writes, but denying its power. Did you hear that? Having a form of godliness, but denying its power. And from such, he says, from such people, turn away. What Timothy was addressing in that time was this. There's a whole range of things that the church had to address early in the piece. We think we've got issues. Well, they had issues as well too. And so Timothy was addressing some of these things. Paul was addressing these things with Timothy. He was addressing these things because he wanted to unpack something that was creeping into the church. And what was creeping into the church was this idea, is that if I look really good outwardly, then maybe it would be understood or accepted as being godly. Do you hear that? And so he says here that they have a form of godliness. They have the shape of godliness. They have the physique of godliness. They look godly. Just imagine someone like that you know. Who do you imagine you know like that? Looks really godly. Maybe if you think of people in... No, actually, I don't want you to think about people in here. That's not probably fair. But just think of people. People who act in certain ways, dress in certain ways, have certain positions, reputations. And he says here that they have this form, this shape of what is godly. But they deny the power of godliness. If they're faced with temptation, they give in. If they have a choice between sin and righteousness, they sin. There is no power to continue to do the things that God is asking them and to walk in the holiness of God. Because this is the distinction. This is the distinction between trying to fake it as a Christian and being real. When you think to yourself, oh, as long as I'm accepted outwardly, but then secretly, I go and do the things that I know I shouldn't be doing. Or sometimes, not even secretly, sometimes it's openly. And so the apostle is being really clear here. If we want to be serious about being in a place of genuine surrender to the Lord, we're not trying to outwardly look a certain way, we're trying inwardly. We're wanting inwardly to be in a place of absolute surrender to the Lord. Is this making some sense to people? So because of this, surrender is not, my friends, surrender is not a bunch of church expectations. Do you hear that? Surrender is not a bunch of church expectations. It's not a life of church that... It's not like you're a life of church attendance, listening to Christian music, hearing Christian sermons, saying Christian phrases, having Christian friends. It's not a bunch of church expectations. It's far greater than that. It's far greater than that. Because we can do all these things and create a form of godliness around us. But in us, we are powerless, defeated, full of hypocrisy and sin. Rather than being in a place where we say, God, because of your great mercies, I find myself surrendering. that when the temptation comes, then all the things that outwardly seem to matter really don't matter anymore. It's what I do and decide to do with this temptation and find myself in a place of surrender. Every day? Well, is it surrender if it's not every day? Every hour? Well, is it surrender if it's every minute? Because this is what God has called his people to be. And so when I find myself leaning on the chest of Jesus, I find there's no other place to be than to be this place. Because this is the place I need to be. So, there you go, number one. It's not a bunch of church expectations. Where do we want to be? Does this interest us? Does it interest us to follow the Lord Jesus Christ out of a place of mercy, so much so that we don't want to just form a godliness around us, we want to be in a place of surrender? So much so that if someone was to challenge us with what's happening, we would be thankful for the challenge, not defensive. Because we want to find ourselves not just looking good on the outside, but doing well on the inside. Make sense? And I want us to think about that this morning. I'm going to stop there. I'll continue next time with a few more. But at the very least, let's think to ourselves this morning, if mercy has come to me, and here I am leaning on the chest of Jesus, there's no other place that I want to be than in a place of surrender. I don't want to fill my life with stuff that looks godly. I want to be from the inside what I need to be. The Bible says that the words of my mouth, Lord, and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. I think that's a good place to be. Let's pray. Join me as we pray together. As we reflect on God's word this morning, as we reflect on the things the Lord has spoken to us through both the songs and through the word, I pray this morning that you are encouraged to be no other place but at the place at leaning on his chest. That your deepest and greatest desire is to be there resting. Not trying to run at 100 miles an hour, trying to do everything that you think is expected of you, but resting on his chest and just saying, Lord, this is where I want to be. A place that is a reflection of your love, a place that is an expression of my love and surrender to you. And that place isn't always an easy place, my friends. It's not always an easy place, but it is a good place. It is the right place. So let's start with that one. Let's start with an understanding that God has called us to this place, and it is the right place to be. Before we sing this morning, there's something very powerful in the words when we say to the Lord Jesus, Lord, I surrender. And if we mean it with all our hearts, there is something quite significant, quite powerful about these words. And I want to encourage you this morning to make that decision. Doesn't mean life will get easier. Doesn't mean challenges will disappear. But it's the calling on our lives to follow him. Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for your mercy towards us and your grace towards us, Lord. We thank you for your incredible love, Lord. Open our eyes to see how great you have loved us. How great was your love to cover a multitude of sins, Lord. How great was your love to call us out of darkness into light and into your company, into your presence, to be your people your hands and your feet to this world. Father, help us to, or strengthen us to be in a place of surrender, that we may love you and adore you and declare you to those around us. Thank you for your people this morning. Thank you for all that are here. We pray your blessing upon them and that your face may shine upon them this week. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen.